Let's go before God and open our hearts to what He has for us today. Father, we're getting very close to the celebration of the gift You gave all of us. A gift that can change our lives and change the world. But we have a hard time connecting with this gift. We all have our daily struggles. We have issues in this life and problems, but we come before You today to seek that anointing, that help that You promise in Your Word. A promise that came through a little child, a baby born in a manger many, many, many years ago. Father, let these words be real to us today. Let us feel Your presence. Be with us as we seek this anointing that only Jesus can give us. In His name we pray. Amen. Fascinating time of year. Fascinating time of year, especially when you're little. Going through, we used to go through the Sears and Roebuck catalogs, or the, remember the Christmas catalogs everybody'd go through, and you'd play the game my sister and brother and I used to play. We would open the catalog and say, okay, you get one thing off this page, what would it be? You get one thing off this page, what would it be? Dream. It's all about dreaming. It's all about mystery. What are we going to get? That's what it was all about, right? What are we going to get? And there is something to get this Christmas. If you read the book of Matthew in the very beginning, it is one of the books of the gospel that tells us about the Christmas story. And the book of Matthew begins off by talking about this lineage. This person begot this person who begot this person, and on and on. It goes way back through history, and it traces the history of Joseph, actually, all the way back to Genesis. It's all these people lined up throughout history of 1,500 years, 2,000 years worth of people. In the very first book of Matthew, very first chapter, you'll notice this large lineage of how we trace back to Jesus. And what's interesting, if you read that lineage, you'll see names in there, for those of you that read your Bible, that you've seen in the Old Testament. And some of them were really shady characters. They had a lot of sin in their life. That's encouraging to me because God used, He has to use us, who we're all messed up. I've said that many times before. And it still brings us to the manger, and He wants to save us. There's something interesting that is planted in our hearts and souls, and I think this has become even more prevalent since we have the internet and all these tools available to us with information. And that is, people have got this new, in the past 10 years, this huge interest about, where did we come from? Who's my great, 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 great grandparents? People are interested in their lineage. There are some people who are adopted, and because of the internet now, they want to find out who was their birth mother, who was their real father. And because of the information age, it's easier to many times connect with these people. God has planted within us, for some reason, about we're wanting to know, where did we come from? We just have this, I don't know, it's deep inside of us. I think it's planted us. I was lucky. I knew my paternal great-grandparents. I can still remember them. I don't know what, you know, how far back in your families, but and when the Bible was written, the information that we have there in Matthew about all these people, the lineage, it was passed down, it was written down, it was told story after story after story, and we've lost a lot of that today. We've lost the storytelling that many of our families, you know, we can go back to, like I said, I can go back to my great-grandparents, but from that time on, I really have no clue. You can even get a DNA test today that tells you what your heritage is. What, do you have any, you know, are you Middle Eastern? Are you Indian? And on and on and on. You can get all these things checked out. Where did we come from? And the interesting thing that I think is important for those that are Christians and trying to find peace from the Bible is, we came from God. That's your lineage. We are all children of God, whether you know it or not. And there it makes a huge difference once you can accept that. Why Jesus? Why a little baby in a manger? What's the point? What are we celebrating here? Why all these fancy celebrations? Because Jesus came to us. God found it was time for Him to send a human into the world filled with God's Spirit to reconnect us to our spiritual heritage. And the reason that's important is because if you read the Old Testament, you will find that all the people in there struggled to keep the laws that God tried to give them. They all failed. They couldn't do it. And the reason was is they were trying to keep God's laws physically. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But if you can do this, I will bless you. And what God showed the people back then was we cannot keep spiritual laws with our physical bodies. So God sent Jesus to us because He gave us a connection to the spiritual world. A man-child coming into the world that could reconnect us to God, the spirit being. All of us here have two parts to us, the physical part, and we're also spiritual beings. And what has happened is since the Garden of Eden is we have left our spiritual being out for the most part. We don't tend to it. And that was one of the great lies that Satan put in us. You don't need the spirit. You don't need to be connected to God. I've talked about this over and over. God has given us the ability to connect with Him, but we find it very difficult. Let's go to our first from Ephesians. It says, this talks about spirit. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. From the New Testament, let's go to the next one in 1 Peter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What's that talking about? There's some crazy, wicked-looking entity out there attacking us. I'm going to tell you, in the spiritual realm, and you all can relate to this, I believe that that is everything inside of us that brings us down. It's our negative thoughts. It's that whatever the devil planted in us years ago, it's this internal battle we have that's constantly trying to steal our joy. In the New Testament, it says the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He comes to kill and steal and destroy your joy. He comes to steal and kill your possibility of believing that there's more to life than just whatever it is we're constantly battling, whether it be finances, health, relationships, the big three. We're in a struggle, we're in a battle, but that battle so many times is internal. It's our thoughts, it brings us down, we get worried. It's hard for us in this world. So here's what Ephesians says. Get plugged into Christmas. No. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. All these things in us, our thoughts, our human natural thoughts bring us down. Finally, in Ephesians 6:11-12, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, these negative thoughts we have. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's these thoughts. Jesus came that you might be saved, not eternally, but to give us a connection to the spiritual power we need to overcome these forces that constantly bring us down. Let's go to Luke, and let's talk about this little guy who grew up to be our Savior, the one who's come who says, look, I can reconnect your spirit to the power it takes to overcome all these spiritual battles you're having. This is Jesus. It says, so Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He's an adult now. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God filled this man child with the Spirit of God. Because he anointed me. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Like today, those people back then, they had many, many troubles. They were lost in their troubles. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. People were being held captive by their thoughts of oppression. It was a hard time of living back then too. And he said, I also came to bring recovery of sight to the blind, spiritual blindness. We've talked about this over the past month. And to set liberty to those who are oppressed. Oppressed by the lie that you don't need God in your life. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And that comes from Isaiah. Christmas is the perfect time to renew our faith. Christmas is the perfect time to look to the Jesus who said, listen, I'm going to go away. He did all his teaching. He did all these miracles. He did these miracles to prove who he was. He raised people from the bed, from the dead. He gave sight to the blind. The crippled and the lame he healed. He made an impact on the world because he was filled spiritually with God's Spirit. And he was given this to say, look, if you plug into me, I can renew the spirit that's within you. I don't care how broken it is. I don't care how down you are. I don't care what you're facing. Plug into me and let my power empower you to a brand new way of living. I've experienced that. I want everybody to experience that. Jesus, this child that was filled with the power and the Spirit of God, left us. And he said, I must go so that I may send a helper. And that helper is the Holy Spirit. And anyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior can be filled with the Spirit. But the problem is that Spirit will lie dormant until we plug in to his power. Let me leave you with this metaphor. Today's day and age, amazing day and age. We have cell phones, we have hair dryers, we have microwave ovens, tools to help us. It's something fascinating about all these different tools we have. Let's take the hair dryers, the microwave ovens, and our cell phone. Those tools only work when you plug them in. They've got to be plugged into a power source. Otherwise, basically, they're useless. They have to be plugged into a power source. And what's interesting is that power source is a power that we can't see. But we know something's there. Because when we plug it in, we can make popcorn in the microwave and heat your hot chocolate. Your hair dryer works when it's plugged into the power source. God is our power source that enables this messed up, broken body, but it's a tool that can be used to expand God's kingdom, starting with you first and your family first. If you can remain, but you must be connected to the power source. It's fascinating to me. People say, oh, Kent, you know, you talked about people praying, millions and millions and millions of people all over the world praying to God. How can God possibly decipher or hear all these prayers? I said, well, let me give you a metaphor to that. all over this town. Let's take the thousands of people in this town this morning. They're using toasters and waffle ovens and TVs and whatever their tools are in their house. They are all plugging into a power source. The person next door who's making toast is using the same power source as the woman over on First Avenue who's making waffles, who's different than the person out on Dunlap Lake that's plugged in and their TV's working. It's the same. How does the power source know what to do in all these things? The power source doesn't have to know exactly what it's being used for. It's the tool. And God will use you as a tool once you plug into Him. And what I do and what Mark does or what Anna does or Leah, He will give us the power to use us and to refresh us to be part of expanding His kingdom. It's an amazing plan. That is the reason for this little child, is to reconnect us with our spiritual heritage. Let's have the band come back up. It's a force we cannot see. It's a force that we cannot totally understand, but it is a real power source. It is Bonnie and I have been talking in the morning because we're both reading the Bible. She's in the Old Testament, I'm in the New Testament. We've had these amazing discussions. I told her, you know what my main goal in my ministry is to get everybody connected to this book, that you read it daily. Because these are spiritual words that will change your life. Even if you don't understand the words when you first start, God will empower you and change your life. He will come into you and heal you in ways you don't even understand. And I'm not necessarily talking about a physical healing, although that can be part of it. It's about healing your spirit within, so that you can go into this season with joy in your heart, regardless of what the physical world is doing, going on around you. Jesus came to give us joy and peace and fulfillment and completeness. The problem with the world has been is that through, whether it be through church, whether it be through organized religion, is we've lost our spiritual heritage and we've lost what it takes to become a real Christian, which means being connected to God and being connected to this book and these words. The last Sunday I preached, I said, look, I plant tulip bulbs every year in the fall so that I can see them bloom in the spring. If I buy the tulip bulbs and just put them in my garage and leave them sit there, it'd be just like me bringing the Bible home, putting it in a drawer and say, yes, I own a Bible, and expecting those words to be transferred into my heart for me to bloom. Ain't going to happen. I have to put work in, put the bulbs in, and then give it time, because everything has its season, for those flower bulbs to develop, and in the spring, I will see what I know God has put in each of those bulbs. And every word in here is like a flower bulb that you can put in your heart, and it will eventually blossom. The words are powerful. It's not the words that Jackie and I speak or any pastor speaks. What happens is God takes the word. You receive the word, and then through the power source, God will come to you and interpret those words into your life and tell you what you must do to be fulfilled and filled with joy and filled with peace. And what happens is too many times is we take the first step and we start reading and God begins speaking to us, but it's things that we don't want to hear. If we're not going to do what He says, don't expect the joy or the peace or the fulfillment that Jesus says He will bring. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. But believe me, it is life-changing. That is the reason for the season. Jesus came so that you may live. Jesus came that you may be filled with joy. Jesus came that you may be filled with peace. But He came giving us instructions about staying connected to the power source. Amen.